بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي وكفى والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته respected listeners welcome to the third session of the wisdoms of Imam Ghazali رحمة الله عليه which is one of online synopsis of sections of Imam Ghazali's famous Al-Arba'in fi Usul al-Din the 40 principles of the religion as I mentioned in the first lecture the Arba'in fi Usul al-Din is a very short book which is a condensed version of Imam Ghazali's very famous magnum opus his very lengthy Ihya ul-Din the book often translated as the revival of the Islamic sciences and what we're doing in these four sessions this is the third session is just discuss certain chapters certain principles mentioned by Imam Ghazali that actually relate to the holy month of Ramadan in different ways So in the first session, we discussed the introduction. We introduced Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, very short, in a very short and succinct way, followed by an introduction to his book, Ihya ul-Din, and also Al-Arba'in. And then thereafter, we led on a discussion of the wisdom of fasting. On the second session, we discussed the discipline of food and how eating too much leads to feeding one's shahawat, one's desires, and that's something that is reprehensible. People should be focusing on eating less in order to break some carnal desires and thereafter connect to Allah Almighty. Now, in this particular session, we've advertised that we'd be discussing three different principles. One is the recitation of the Quran al-Kareem, which is obviously connected to the holy month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is often described as the month of the Quran. We also said we'd discuss zikr, the remembrance of Allah Almighty. And the third thing we'd said we'd discuss would be the safeguarding of the tongue. However, after having looked at the different topics, the three topics, I realized that it's probably quite a lot for us to cover over 30 minutes, so just or 35 minutes. So just to keep things very succinct and short, I'm only going to be discussing one of these three, and that's the wisdom of reciting the Quran, some of the adab and etiquettes of reciting the Quran. This is very important because, I mean, one of the famous Sufis of the century before the 19th century, someone who's connected to many of our mashayikh, especially the mashayikh and ulama of Dioban rahmat alayhim ar-rahma, is a person known as Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayhi, very famous Sufi sheikh who was the sheikh of Maulana Shaf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, also Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, and also Maulana Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullah alayhi, and in one of his books known as Ziyal Qulub, the polishing or the radiance of the hearts. He says that recitation of the Quran, if done in the proper way with the proper etiquette and with all the different rules and regulations in mind, the spiritual rules and regulations in mind, is one of the greatest acts of worship after the fara'id. And it's the best way in order to connect to Allah Almighty. So therefore, that's why I thought, well, today on this particular session, we'll be focusing on Imam Ghazali's wisdoms of the Quran, and I'll also be bringing in and introducing different concepts mentioned by many of our more contemporary scholars, just to help illustrate the points. So to begin with, the Aslul Khamis, the fifth principle of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, it relates to the qira'at of the Quran, the recitation of the Quran. And Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, he begins with a number of hadith just to illustrate the point. So I'm just going to go over the hadith very quickly. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضُلُ عِبَادَةِ أُمَّتِي قِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ That the best and most superior worship or form of worship of my ummah is the recitation of the Qur'an. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, لَوْ كَانَ الْقُرْآنُ فِي إِهَابٍ مَا مَسَّتْهُ النَّارِ That if the Qur'an itself was in a ihab, a skin, leather bound in a skin, ma masathu an-nar, then the fire would not touch it. Rabbi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says in another hadith, ma min shafi'in afdal manzilatan 'inda Allah yawm al-qiyamah min al-Qur'an, la nabiyyun wa la malakun wa la ghayruhu. That there is no intercessor that is more superior in status in the eyes of Allah Almighty or by Allah Almighty on the day of judgment than the Qur'an. Not even a prophet, not even an angel or anyone else. So in terms of the Quran being interceding for the for mankind on the Day of Judgment, I mean, Day of Judgment, we all know about the Day of Judgment in different ways. Whether we understand the reality of the Day of Judgment is an issue altogether. But Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that on this day, when people be running around looking for intercessor to intercede on their behalf in front of Allah Almighty to save them from the difficulties and the trials and tribulations of the Day of Judgment, there'll be no intercessor greater on that particular day than the Holy Quran. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also says, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So this is a hadith of Qudsi. He cites, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cites Allah Almighty as saying, مَنْ شَغَلَهُ قِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنَ أَنْ دُعَيْهِ وَمَسْأَلَتِي. That whoever is preoccupied from supplicating to me and asking me, yani Allah Almighty, for their need, by the recitation of the Quran. So one is so preoccupied by reciting the Quran that he's preoccupied to an extent that he lacks in making so much dua or seeking help from Allah Almighty. أَعْطَيْتُهُ أَفْضَلَ ثَوَابِ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Then I shall give him the most superior of rewards that's given to those who are thankful. Subhanallah. So these are just some of the hadith that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh conveys to the reader and to the listeners here. So these are just some of the hadith that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh mentions in order to illustrate the superiority and the virtues of reciting the Quran al-Kareem. So I've just explained that now, and I've gone over those hadith. We are going to be making this particular recording available online, so you'll be able to access that anytime afterwards, inshallah ta'ala. Now, thereafter, what Imam Ghazali does is he mentions the etiquettes and the secrets of reading the Quran. And he says that in terms of the external etiquettes or the outer manners in which one should recite the Quran al-Kareem, he mentions three particular etiquettes. And he says there are three. And then thereafter, he follows by listing a group of inner secrets of reciting the Quran. And in there, he mentions five. So I'm going to quickly go over these for the benefit of... And basically, everything that I'm going to mention here is a summary of what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentions in this particular chapter. So in terms of outer manners and outer etiquette, and it's very important, we've still got 10 days left. You know, tonight will be the 21st fast if you're following... one particular school, it might be today is the 20th fast if you're following one particular school, and if you're following the other school of thought, then it's actually the 19th. So we've either got 10 or 11 if there's 30 days of fasting this month of Ramadan left. So there's still time to really devote yourself to reciting the Holy Quran as best as possible. So inshallah, I'm hoping by going over this lecture today, we'll be able to also gain some of those benefits and spirituality of reciting the Quran, proximity to Allah Almighty over the next few days, inshallah ta'ala. So in terms of outer manners that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentions, he mentions three. Number one, that you recite the Quran with respect and a posture of veneration. What he says here is that you should have respect and veneration for the Quran, and that this veneration, respect, should be ingrained within the heart itself. He also says that the veneration shouldn't just be linked to the heart, shouldn't just be in the heart, but it should be also in your outer form as well. The external body should also have you in terms of your disposition, the way you are holding yourself. You should be venerating, respecting, and honoring the Quran itself. And then he says something really important, that the veneration and sanctity of the Quran that should be felt in the heart cannot be achieved if the zahir, if the external of the body, is not one of sanctity and veneration. So you could say that I have a lot of honor and respect for the Quran and Kareem, but if you're not going to sit correctly when reciting the Quran, then there's a bit of an issue there. Your external, the way you look, the way you hold yourself, the way you hang yourself, should also reflect your heart in itself. The both of these issues should tally with each other here. So the heart should have full honor and veneration for the Quran, but the external side of the body itself, and the way you hold yourself, should also be one of sanctity and veneration. And then he says that the heart is connected to the limbs, and that reminded me of something that my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh used to often say in many of his lectures. He used to say that if the heart is correct, then the entire body is correct. And then he used to mention the very famous hadith that every
Allah inna fil jasila mudgha, that be attentive, indeed inside the body is a piece of flesh. Idha salahat salahal jasadu kullu, that if he was to be corrected, if the heart was to be corrected, then the entire body would be corrected. Idha fasadat, and when it is corrupt or it's caused to be not in its proper equilibrium or balance, fasadal jasadu kullu, then the entire body would be corrupt as well. And then he would also say a very famous saying of the Sufis, al qalbu malikul jasad, that the heart is the king of the rest of the body. So if the heart actually wants you to do something, if he wants you to eat something, if he wants you to walk somewhere, then the body and the limbs will obey and you'll actually do that. So what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is saying here is that the heart, there should be honor and respect for the Quran in the heart, but that should also then be reflected in the way you sit, in the way you read the Quran, in your disposition, how your face is, how you're actually hanging yourself, how you actually, everything that you do physically should also reflect what your heart is. So then, what is veneration? He then goes into some nitty-gritty and he mentions that you sit with purity, you sit facing the Qibla, you lower your head, you don't lean on something. He also says you shouldn't sit cross-legged, and I can understand. I mean, I struggle with sitting in the at-tahiyyat position for lengthy periods of time. But he says that you shouldn't sit cross-legged. But if, I mean, I would also say with that if you struggle to sit like that, which many of us do, then sit cross-legged. You should also, when reciting the Quran, you shouldn't also lie down. That's what he recommends. I mean, that's the best situation possibly. And you should recite the Quran as if you're sitting in front of your own Quran teacher, with so much adab, etiquette and respect. And then you recite in a way that each word is clear, without mumbling, and without mumbling or fudging in the way you actually say things. And at this point, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he also says that at the end of the day, you know, he does say that you should sit and read the Quran, but Allah Almighty says as well at the same time in the Quran that alladhina yuzkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa la junubihim, that this is the loftiest, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, mentions here that this is the loftiest way, the most superior way of reciting the Quran Kareem. But at the same time, if situation arises that you're unable to sit like that and you recite the Quran lying down, you might be falling asleep and you're reciting the Quran at the same time from memory, then that's also something that's not going to go by without having an effect, because Allah Almighty actually loads the person who remembers Allah Almighty, and the recitation of the Quran itself is also a form of zikr of Allah Almighty. Allah says in the Quran, those who remember Allah Almighty, qiyaman, standing, wa qu'udan, sitting, wa ala junubihim, and also whilst on their sides lying down. Number two, so that's the first adab, that you respect, you recite the Quran with respect and a posture of veneration in the way that you recite in front of your Quran teacher. Number two, you yearn at times of the day to reach the highest level. So you should recite the Quran. What Imam Ghazali is saying here is that you should recite the Quran and you should yearn to recite the Quran at certain times of the day when you're able to reach the highest level, which is to recite standing in prayer, specifically at night in the masjid. That's what Imam Ghazali says. This is because the heart is clear at that time. It's not busy with the worldly things. We know that the masjids are closed. It's not something we can actually go. So you could possibly recite the Quran at home at night time, in tahajjud as best as possible. And he also says that this is the time when your heart is free, your heart is empty, there's less things that are distracting you, and it's a time that you're able to connect to Allah Almighty. And again, he also says that regardless how you read it, it's not bereft of virtue, even if you do it lying down and not in the state of wudu. And I mentioned the ayat I've just mentioned a short while ago. However, he says that the superior way is to recite the Quran sitting down or in salah, standing up at night time. Then he mentions, the third adab he mentions is that there's another etiquette in how much you should recite the Quran. I'm just going to tell you what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentions here, then I'm going to add my own footnotes to this using the writings of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Khandalwi rahmatullah alayhi. So Imam Ghazali says that in terms of the amount of the Quran that you should recite, these are at three levels. One is the least, the highest, and the middle. So he says that the least amount of Quran you should recite is to complete one entire Quran once a month. And the highest level, he says, is to complete it every 3 days. That's what Imam Ghazali says. And he supports this with a hadith that mentions that a person who recites the Quran less than 3 days has not understood it. That's Imam Ghazali's position. I'm going to get to that in a little while. I'm going to discuss what some of the other mashayikh have said regarding this, but I'm going to come to that in a few seconds. The middle level is to complete it once every week. So you could read one manzil. If you look at especially the South Asian prince, the South African prince, for example, of the Quran, you'll notice that the Quran is divided into 7 manzils. There's a manzil 1, manzil 2, manzil 3, manzil 4, manzil 5, manzil 6, manzil 7. And many of the companions, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, used to recite the entire Quran over 7 days. So what some of the mashayikh did was, they divided the Quran into 7 parts. These are not exactly equal amounts. I think the first two are a bit longer than the others. But the speciality of the 7 manzils is that they end at the end of a surah. So if you notice that some of the juz, the ajza, or the siparas, or the paras, they end at random places. They might end just after a particular surah, or they might end in between a particular mazmoon or a particular topic. Wal muhsanatu, I mean, that's of the 5th juz. If you look at the translation, you'll notice that very clearly there. And there's others like that. Now, what the 7 manzils is, that they actually end at the end of a surah itself. So these are 7 parts of the Quran, which the Sahaba Ridwanul Alayhi, some of the Sahaba used to recite the Quran over 7 days. And they used to do khatam every Friday, right, on the 7th. And so you can actually read according to that if you wish. I mean, it depends on how long it takes you to recite one juz, but that's one nice way of completing the Quran. Now, the middle level, Imam Ghazali says, is to complete it once every week, and I've just mentioned the manazil or the manzils. And then he says that he also says that his position is that it's not preferred to complete the Quran once every day. Now, at this point, I'm just going to introduce you to some of the writings of Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Khandalwi rahmatullah alayh on this particular topic of how much Quran should a person read. And he mentions this in his very famous book, Fadail al-Quran, The Virtues of the Quran, under Hadith number 33. He says that Sayyiduna Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu would complete the entire Quran in a single rak'at of witr. He says that Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, very famous companion, would complete the entire Quran in a night. He also mentions Sayyid ibn Jubair rahmatullah alayhi, the tabi'in, who would recite the Quran in 2 rakats in the Kaaba. So he'd enter the Kaaba, perform 2 rakats, and complete the entire Quran within those 2 rakats. Thabit Banani rahmatullah alayhi, very famous Sufi, would complete the Quran in 1 day, 1 night. Sayyidina Abu Huraira, companion, would also complete an entire Quran in 1 day and 1 night. And then he would also he mentions a number of other individuals, Sahaba, non-Sahaba, Tabi'ins, Tabi' Tabi'ins, and many people after, who would recite the entire Quran in a day. In fact, twice in a day. And then he says that Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi's commentator, Allama Zabidi. So here, Allama Zabidi, Allama Murtaza Zabidi, rahmatullah alayhi, Indian scholar settled in Yemen many, many centuries ago. He wrote a commentary on Imam Ghazali's Ihya called Sharh al-Ihya. And he writes, Imam Allama Zabidi writes, that the scholars have differed over this issue. Some complete the entire Quran in 1 day, such as Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, in months other than Ramadan. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi himself, Imam Ghazali is a Shafi, would complete the entire Quran once in a day in Ramadan, in any day outside Ramadan. And he would complete 2 recitations of the entire Quran in Ramadan. And then Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, quoting Allama Zabidi, mentions others who did the same thing. He also says that some people, like for example, the very prominent Tabi'i, the follower Sulaim bin Attar rahmatullah alayhi, he also completed 3 readings of the Quran in a single day. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi says that the maximum recorded recitation of the Quran in a day was 8 by an individual known as Ibn al-Katib. Ibn Qudama, the very famous Hanbali scholar, student of Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, contemporary of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi, very famous Sufi, and also he was the author of Al-Mughni, which is one of the more reliable books on Hanbali fiqh. He says, very famous scholar, he was one of the individuals who was actually there when at the liberation of Jerusalem from the Crusaders after 90 or 110 years or whatever it was. I'm actually going to be doing a lecture on some of this for Ar-Rayyan Institute over the next few months after Ramadan, inshallah. So Ibn Qudama rahmatullah alayhi says there's no limit in how much one should, how much Quran should be read, and it really depends on the zeal of the reader. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is mentioned regarding him that he used to complete 61 readings in Ramadan. And likewise, we also know very, very famous incident from many of our mashaykh themselves, especially those related to the family of Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakir rahmatullah alayhi. They used to often recite one entire Quran over the entire month of Ramadan. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, he then mentions all of this, and he doesn't mention Imam Ghazali or Imam Ghazali's position per se. He just mentions, you know, this, and it's a real lesson for the ulama and the scholars out there in adab, in etiquette, in how he provides a different opinion without actually engaging the original opinion or lowering the status of the Shaykh themselves. So he says, Imam Ghazali says, he mentions the hadith that Imam Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakir rahmatullah alayhi mentions, the hadith that Allah Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentions, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that a person who reads the Quran in less than 3 days, he's actually not really understood the Quran or fulfilled his haqq, etc. So he's mentioned regarding this that this hadith refers to the capacity of the readers in general. Otherwise, completing a complete recitation of the Quran in less than 3 days has often been narrated from the companions themselves. And I think what Ibn Qudama rahmatullah alayhi says is, it probably makes sense, and this is where Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakir rahmatullah alayhi also leans, is that there's no limit in how much Quran should be read, and it really depends on the reader themselves. But if you're normally reading, if we're normally reading 2-3 juz a day outside Ramadan, then we should at least double it or triple it in Ramadan itself. And some of them, all people, some of the really good qaris, some of the people who've actually recite half of the Quran, who recite the Quran, and they built themselves up to really fulfill the haqq of the Quran, whilst at the same time being able to recite the entire Quran itself. So if they can do this, then mashallah, fantastic. Allah give us all the tawfiq to also act upon this and also recite the entire Quran from beginning to end as much as we can in the month of Ramadan. So these are the three etiquettes that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentions in terms of the external aspect of reciting the Quran. Number one, you read it with respect and a posture of veneration. Number two, you try and read it at times of the day when your mind's clear, for example during the night and in standing in prayer, especially in the masjid. And then the amount that you read, which he's taken a stringent position, but many of the mashaykh, many of the sahaba, many of the fuqaha have taken a position that's a little bit more liberal, where they've given permission for reciting more than the entire Quran over 3 days, so even reciting it twice in one day. Thereafter, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he goes on to the inner secrets of the Quran. And I'm just going to quickly run through this, because I think personally his inner secrets are very interesting and very useful, but they might be slightly complicated. So I want to introduce some other inner secrets mentioned by other people. So I'm just going to quickly run through this. So number one, in terms of the inner secrets, that when you recite the Quran, you feel at the beginning of the recitation the greatness of the speech, and the greatness of the speaker himself, yani Allah Almighty. You contemplate the throne and the kursi, the heavens and the earth, and everything that's in between. So you have this contemplation in your mind that when you're reading the Quran, you're actually reading the Quran of Allah Almighty and how great He is, how great everything around Him is, everything that He's created, and that He's created the earth and the humans and the jinn, and that He is the one, He has power over everything. And that you actually intend to read His speech. So it's not just any old book that you're picking up, you're reciting the Quran, the words of the creator of everything that's in the world and in the universe and everything that's been created. You're looking at the beauty of His knowledge, or the beauty of the knowledge of Allah Almighty and His wisdom. And you realize in your heart that the pure can only, in the way that the pure can only touch the Quran, لَا يَمَسُّ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَرُونَ, that only those who are pure, ritually pure through wudu and ghusl, are able to touch the Quran. Likewise, its reality and inner meanings is hidden from the heart as long as the heart remains polluted with the spiritual illnesses. So it's really understanding and valuing the Quran. What he's saying is, you need to realize that you can only access the Quran and understand its inner meaning if your heart is pure itself. So you're time and again, Imam Ghazali, through all his writings, he always brings it back to the heart and the necessity of purifying the heart from spiritual illnesses. Tasawwuf, suluk, tazkiyah, and I mentioned that last time. And this is something that all of us, you know, it's wajib upon every single individual to purify their heart in every way possible from the impurities. If you want to know more about this, you can contact me directly. I'll inshallah talk you through it with a bit more detail. But I don't think we'll have much time at today's lesson. Number two, you recite it while thinking and contemplating its meanings if you're qualified to do so. So if you understand the meanings, then you read it with some tafakkur, with some thought and contemplation about its inner meanings and what it actually says. And the third is that you're in your contemplation, you harvest the fruits of realization from its branches. What he means here is that whilst you're contemplating the meaning as you're reciting it, you feel or sense a different type of ma'rifah or understanding or realization as you recite it. So for example, those verses relating to Allah Almighty's qualities and actions should lead to ma'rifah of Allah Almighty's greatness and magnificence. Those relate to guidance and the straight path, then through that you should actually acquire knowledge and understanding and some thought to Allah Almighty's mercy, clemency and wisdom. Those relating to the destruction of the enemy, which is a theme that often appears in the Quran, then you should acquire through it knowledge of Allah Almighty's might, His independence, His authority and His force. Those relating to the prophets and their stories, which is another theme that constantly appears within the Quran, then you should acquire from it the understanding of the gentleness of Allah Almighty, His kindness, His grace and His generosity. That's the third secret that Imam Ghazali mentions. Then the fourth inner secret is that you free yourself from the barriers of understanding, right? So there's certain veils in front of you that prevent you from understanding. Allah says, indeed, in the Quran, indeed we have placed over their hearts covering that they do not understand it, and in their ears there is deafness. So Imam Ghazali here at this point, he actually goes into a very lengthy discussion. And the summary of this is that it is only by pursuing the cleanliness of the heart that one can really appreciate the Quran. So there should be some effort in purifying the heart in order to link with the Quran, in order to be able to remove the veils and the barriers to link to the Quran, understand and appreciate it, and get the spiritual benefit that you really need. Next one. So the fifth one is you recite a verse of the Quran and it should have an effect on your body. Thus, when the verse relates to mercy and forgiveness, then you rejoice yourself, you become happy. And when a verse mentions or includes something around the wrath and punishment of Allah, then you shrink and you become slightly anxious. You lower your shoulders, withdraw slightly. When Allah is mentioned, His greatness, you lower yourself as if you're nothing. Because in front of the might of Allah Almighty, we are nothing. So you're allowing that when you're reciting the Quran, it's having an effect on your body. You're letting the effect of this appear on your body by crying, being happy, being shy, being anxious. There's a lot of detail here. Again, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah has mentioned a lot of detail. And I think for this particular group of students, people who are listening, I thought it's probably a lot more interesting if I was to also introduce what some of the other contemporary mashayikh have also mentioned in terms of the adab and the etiquettes of the Quran. That's something that we should really focus on. There's only 10 days left in Ramadan. 10 days or 11 days, maybe even 9 days for some, if there's 29 days. So I think, let me just mention what Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakir Rahmatullahi mentions in Fadail al-Quran in terms of the 6 external and 6 internal rules of reference of reading the Quran, as mentioned in his Fadail al-Quran. And in terms of listing the external reverence, it's very short and succinct, so it's really interesting here. Number one, you perform wudu and you sit facing the Qibla in an extremely dignified manner. So that's similar to what Imam Ghazali said. Number two, you don't proceed very fast. It's not a race, but read with measure and correct pronunciation. You try to weep even if you have to compel yourself to do so. That's number three. Number four, the response to the verses of mercy or punishment should be as explained above. You should really fear Allah Almighty. You should weep. You should have a vision and a thought of the greatness and the might of Allah Almighty. Number five, you should read in a low voice. Reading should be in a low voice if you feel you're going to be insincere or you're going to disturb others. Otherwise, you should read in a loud voice. So you shouldn't be just, you know, looking at the Quran quietly, but you should read in an audible voice loudly. And unless you're going to disturb somebody, or on the other hand, you feel that your recitation is so great that you're going to develop a sense of insincerity there. Number six, you read in a melodious voice, because there are numerous hadiths laying emphasis on this. So that's the six rules of external reverence mentioned by Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakir rahmatullah alayh. In terms of the internal reverence, there's another six rules mentioned here. Number one, the heart should be full of the glory of the Quran, so you realize how sublime it is. Number two, you bear in the heart the loftiness and the majesty and the magnificence of Allah Almighty, whose revelation the Quran is. Number three, the heart should be free from distraction and doubts. Number four, you dwell upon the meanings and enjoy reading it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once spent the entire night reading over and over a verse of the Quran, in which Allah Almighty says, "If you should chastise them, they are your servants, and if you should forgive them, then you are mighty and wise." Likewise, Sa'id ibn Jubair radiallahu ta'ala spent the entire night repeating a verse of the Quran in which Allah Almighty says, "And withdraw aside today, O guilty ones." Number five, you submit your heart to the subject matter of the verses you're reading. For instance, on verses containing a message of mercy, the heart should be filled with delight. And on verses of chastisement, the heart should tremble with awe. And number six, the ears should be made as attentive as if Allah Almighty Himself is speaking and the reader is listening to Him. So you should, when you're reading the Quran, you should be so focused on reading the Quran that you're contemplating that Allah Almighty is actually speaking to me at this moment in time, and you're listening to Him at the same time. So that's why Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakir rahmatullah alayhi mentions, very similar to what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says. I've contextualized a lot of what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in his Arba'in, which is a condensed version of Ihya al-Muddin. Hopefully some practical steps there. There's just a few days left for Ramadan. I pray that you found this very beneficial. Let me just mention one other thing, which I never really got time to translate this, but I think some of the individuals here on this listening might find this very interesting, and I think it's probably useful for me to also mention this, that many of the mashayikh of ulama of Dioband, alayhim ar-rahma, well, all of them, went to a Sufi sheikh to purify their inner self at certain points in their lives. And some of the early Deobandi scholars, such as Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullah, both of them, they went to an individual known as Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayhi. Following the 1857 War of Independence, Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayhi migrated to Makkatul Mukarramah, and he eventually lived in the madrasa there, Madrasa Solatiyah. There's actually it's finished now, but I remember many years ago, about 20 years ago, visiting Madrasa Solatiyah and seeing the room within which Haji Imdadullah, seeing the outside of the room. I didn't get a chance to go inside because it was locked, unfortunately, but the outside of the room, which was Haji Imdadullah's own personal room in which he performed zikr. It was located in the madrasa's now finished, it's demolished because of the haram extension, the latest one. But it used to be located in an area known as Harratul Bab. Now, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayhi was a very accomplished Sufi sheikh. And he held the hands of Mawlana Shirma Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullah alayhi, along the path of tasawwuf. And one of the books he wrote, well, he wrote a number of short risalas, or short booklets, which were collected together into one particular book known as Kulliyat Imdadiya, named after him. One of the books inside there is, or one of the risalas, one of the booklets, is a little risala known as Ziya'ul Qulub, the Radiance of the Hearts. And in there, he mentions many of the ashghal. It's an Urdu book. It's not been translated into English. He mentions the Ziya'ul Qulub. He's got a section in there. What he mentions inside this book is some of the ashghal of dhikr and the ashghal of the Sufis themselves, according to the Chishti Tariqa. And he has one particular section regarding the adab and the etiquettes of reciting the Quran Kareem. And what he says at the beginning of this book is that it's a great form of worship, and aside from the acts of farad, it's one of the most effective ways. Reciting the Quran is one of the most effective ways of connecting to Allah Almighty. There's nothing better than it is, he says. And he says that there's certain adab and etiquettes relating to this. Some of this has been mentioned, I've already covered this. But if anyone's interested in finding out a little bit more, they could probably contact me directly, and I'll read the entire Urdu section for them. I'm not going to go into translating it, because I think I'll probably need another 25 minutes for that. But yeah, so that's something that's been mentioned by Haji Imdadul Rahmatullah Alayh. Very interesting methodology in reciting the Quran, connecting to Quran and connecting to Allah Almighty, and using the recitation of Quran to link to Allah Almighty Himself. So that brings me to the end of today's lecture, inshallah. There's some questions. If anyone's got any questions, let them through. I can see that there's one particular question from Brother Zahir, that is there any guidance from our mashaykh regarding, is it better to read more Quran without understanding or less, but understanding it? That's a very interesting question by Zahir. I think from my perspective, I think the methodology of our mashaykh is quite interesting in this respect. My own Sheikh, Rahmatullah Alayh, Sheikh Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, he was quite adamant, and he used to encourage people to read as much Quran as possible, and even though they might not know Arabic and understand it. So he used to say to them, read the Quran with full etiquette and adab, that this is the kalam of Allah Almighty, and using some of the etiquettes mentioned in Fadail al-Quran and also by Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, he used to encourage us to recite the Quran like this, even if you don't understand it, because the spiritual benefit from it is more than anything else. You could say that the time you spend reciting the Quran, understanding it or not understanding, you're actually in the suhbat and in the company of Allah Almighty, where the nur of Allah Almighty and the fuyuth are actually entering your hearts, and is spiritually uplifting. So should you read Quran without understanding? Definitely so. Is it better to read more Quran without understanding or less, but understanding it? I haven't come across that particular question, but I think what I would encourage you to do is read as much as you can, even if you don't understand it, but also spend some time trying to understand it through an authentic tafsir of the Quran. But if you're traversing the path, and if you're bait to a sheikh, and you're following the suluk in itself, then it's important that you refer back to your sheikh, and he's probably prescribed to you or us or whoever how much Quran we should be reciting in a day. Follow that as much as we can, and at the same time take some time out to understand the meaning of the Quran, not just the translation of the Quran, but also at the same time the tafsir of the Quran as best as possible. And I think both of them go hand in hand. They're both beneficial and hopefully help each and every single individual spiritually as well, inshallah. So that's how Jazakallah Khair Zahir said that. That's fine, inshallah. Any other questions relating to this, let me know. So I do know that this particular session has been recorded, and it'll be available online like the other sessions. We've only got one session after this. There was another two topics that I was going to mention today as advertised. Number one was wisdom of dhikr and the safeguarding of the tongue. Just going over the wisdom of reciting Quran has brought me to 37 minutes. So I've not got time to go over the dhikr. I've actually not even prepared for that. But inshallah, you know, maybe after Ramadan, if we carry on with this, we'll visit these topics. Somebody's asked the question, which tafsir would you recommend? I'm not that accomplished, but I would say, I mean, some of our mashaykh would say that the tafsir of Ma'rif al-Quran by Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahmatullah alayh is actually a very good tafsir, which people, and it's easily accessible. It's available in Urdu, and it's also available in English, known as Ma'rif al-Quran. That's one particular tafsir that's very popular. There's another one which I've come across, and I've actually purchased it as well. I'm just having a look on my shelf here. I've got it here, I found it. Which one of my friends, Mufti Javed Iqbal in Birmingham, said to me, it's a very nice little explanation of the Quran in a very easy, short form. Which, you know, in this day and age, reading multi-volume books becomes slightly difficult for people, because we're also habituated to getting instantaneous information. We don't even need to go shopping anymore. Everything gets delivered at home. And in terms of how much we read, there's very little that we read. Everything's very instantaneous. YouTube is often, social media is just moving really fast. A lot of people don't even listen to bayans for like more than 50 minutes, 40 minutes, 30 minutes. They like to listen to the excerpts on YouTube for like 10 minutes that just tell them something, a booster that moves on. So I think this particular tafsir that Mufti Javid said to me was a very nice little book. It's by Khalid Beg, the chap who runs Al Balagh website. It's called Listening to the Quran, Insights, Commands and Guidance for Our Life. I've purchased it. I've not had a chance to look at it, but it does look very good. I wouldn't say it's a complete explanation of the Quran A to Z, but what it definitely is, it takes certain ayats, it seems, and he explains it. And I've read a few books by Khalid Beg himself. I think he's a fantastic writer, and he has a knack in contextualizing things into the modern era. So this book is actually called Listening to the Quran by Khalid Beg, Insights, Commands and Guidance for Our Life. It's not very long, it's only about 200 pages, but it seems to be a very interesting little book, which I'm sure people would benefit and would be a step in the way to connect to the Quran, the meanings of the Quran. It's very easily, you can buy it. I only bought it for about £8 on Amazon. So that's one tafsir I would also recommend. So I've mentioned Marif al-Quran, very basic little book, Listening to the Quran. I would also mention a third one, if you're reading Urdu, which would be Sheikh al-Hind, Maulana Mahmud al-Hassan Sab Rahmatullah Ali's tafsir of the Quran with tarjuma. Well, his tarjuma and the tafsir, I think, was finished by Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani, I think he was called. And the name completely escapes me at this moment in time, but Tafsir Usmani. Tafsir Usmani by Sheikh al-Hind, Maulana Mahmud al-Hassan Sab Rahmatullah Ali, which is also a very fantastic little explanation, very, very short and succinct, and it's available in Urdu. I don't think it's been translated into English. So that's another one I would also recommend, inshallah. Any other questions? Right, so that brings us to the end of session 3. Jazakallah khair for listening. Blessed days, blessed nights, opportunities for dua. Remember this humble one as much as you can as well. That Allah Almighty fulfills all of my pious intentions in the best way possible with afiyat, inshallah ta'ala. Make dua for the ummah. It's a very different Ramadan, this Ramadan. Let's make the most of it as much as we can. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.